I appreciate her. Couldn't do this without her. And boy, the Lord's good. Yeah. I'll say this. I'm going to be careful how I say some things. I come here, I believe it was last Sunday, maybe two Sundays ago, and your preacher said, I know why you ain't been back in a long time. I said, do you? He said, yeah. You got embarrassed because you called me old. And he said, I was the first person to call him old, so you're welcome. But and all jokes aside, I love this place. Hey. I love the fellowship.
Yes,
Brother Dalmer, look up to him. Brother Dustin, talk to him on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis. He's helped me out a lot. And I love you, preacher.
Yes.
I do. I'm not just saying that, but from the bottom of my heart, I love this place.
Hey.
And I'll say this, you preachers know what I'm talking about. I've had two or three messages the last couple of weeks. I've just been itching to preach, and the Lord just ain't let me. And Dustin, I thought I was going to get to preach one of them today, and I was driving down the road Friday, and there's some stuff going on. I was listening to some good gospel music. The Lord started dealing with me on some stuff, and I just about wrecked. Holy Ghost got in a truck with me. And so now y'all pray for me. It's if you would stand with us. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 8. And then if you would flip over to Romans chapter 3. John chapter 8 and Romans chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse from Romans 3, but then we're going to get into it a little bit deeper here in a minute. We're going to start out in John chapter 8 and verse number 1. John chapter 8, verse number 1. And I'll say this, if you're here today and you're lost, you're to get born again.
Right.
I understand the environment. Preacher, I know you in Zavit, I believe, and I don't know many folks, Brother Dustin, that would eat and then come back for service right when you got done eating. I just don't, preacher. A lot of people's not interested in church such as that. They're not faithful to something like that, and I applaud you for that. But I know this too: more than likely, there's somebody here that's lost.
Sure. Sure.
I know, Brother Dustin, that I went to all the Bible schools, I went to the youth rallies, I went to the dinners, I went to all the church functions. Preacher, I'm still lost.
Yeah.
And as a 16-year-old punk kid, Brother Josh, I got born again.
Hey.
Into the family of God.
Yeah.
And listen, you might be playing church. You might fool your Sunday school teacher. You might fool Brother Dalmer. You might even fool your preacher. But you won't fool God.
Right.
You might have a testimony of being saved. And listen, I'm not for preaching doubt. That's foolishness. But I'm forgetting where the rubber meets the road, friend.
Right.
Eternity is way too long to be wrong.
Right.
Way too long to be wrong. If you're here today, I pray you get saved. John chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Ain't you glad that he stooped down?
Yeah.
He could have turned his nose up to her and had every right to, but he didn't. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now that's a good story.
Right.
And the Lord started working on me with something else. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says this: to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, God, to be in your house today. God, with your people and in your presence. Lord, I'm sure today, God, that they might be here, one that's lost. Lord, doesn't know what it's like to be birthed into the family of God. God, I pray you'd guard my tongue and guide my mind. God, I pray, Lord, you'd get me out of the way, and God, we'd see no man beside yourself. Lord, I pray, God, for the one might be here that's lost. Lord, they'd realize their condition. God, they'd realize their destination. But God, greater than that, Lord, that your sweet spirit would show them, God, through the scripture, through the preaching of your word, God, how much you loved them, how much you gave for them. God, how you died and bled and rose again so that they could be saved. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, for all things. It's in your sweet name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, in the book of John chapter 8, everybody knows this story. If you've been to church any time at all, about this adulterous woman, we go on to verse number 3 right here. The Bible says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Preacher, there's a few things I'd like to bring out about this. Everybody knows the story. Okay. I mean, Brother Dustin, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Yeah. But I got to listen. I got to, Lord started dealing with me about some things. Brother Dustin, to the world's eyes, I mean, listen, this woman did not have a good reputation. Okay. I mean, friend, more than likely, her being who she was, her doing what she did. Brother Dustin, more than likely, she wasn't a religious person. She probably didn't give alms to God. Friend, she probably didn't do the Ten Commandments. Friend, she probably didn't give praise to God. And you people would look out there, Brother Kevin, and they'd think, how could God justify somebody like that? I mean, how could God stoop down that low to a woman like that's level? And Brother Josh, save her. I know this is pre-Calvary, but friend, there's a lot of good preaching right here. There's a lot of things that Christ showed us, preacher, before he ever went to the cross, that he was going to show some grace. That's some folks, Brother Dustin. I get to thinking about John chapter 10. Brother Josh, that's that good shepherd chapter. And he goes on over, preacher, and he talks about a fold that he's got. But he says there's another fold, friend, that I'm going to bring in. Just in case you didn't know, neighbor, that other fold was me and you, a bunch of Gentile dogs. We didn't have the promises. We didn't have the covenants. We didn't have the oracles. We was without God and no hope. But now some of us that was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, friend, we've now been brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ. The law couldn't do that. The law was weak, and what it could not do, God sent forth his son. How could he be just and the justifier of all them that call unto him? I'm going to go through John chapter 8 a minute. I almost feel like I'm preaching through messages, but y'all bear with me today. John chapter 3, they said this. Preacher, I noticed this, I believe. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus, here's what that religious bunch did. Brother Dustin, they found this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, we know what the law says to do, but what do you say that we do? But preacher, here's the thing. Just as the devil done, they didn't take the whole scripture. Friend, they just took part of the scripture. You say what you're saying, preacher. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, and Brother Josh, and the book of Leviticus, you go there, and it says not just the woman, but it says the woman and the man, they should both be stoned. They should both be killed. I'm tearing the place apart. But then you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, friend, both of them deserve to die. Both of them deserve to be stoned. Both of them deserve to be under condemnation, underneath the wrath of God. And friend, that religious bunch was trying to get her killed, though she was not the only one in the wrong. Now, I've thought of this, preacher. I've often wondered, was that one of her buddies, one of their buddies that got caught with her? Because that religious crowd, you'll learn something about Pharisees. They like to have everybody hear them pray.
Yes.
Now, listen, I'm all for loud praying, but I'm all, like, you ever hear somebody pray? Preacher, they're using real big words. Listen, I'm from Hanging Limb. Most of y'all probably don't even know where that's at. But Brother Kevin, I'm not from a place where people would say big words. But I've learned this, Brother Dustin. I know a lot of religious terms. I know eschatology. I know a lot of those prophetic terms, preacher. But at the end of the day, listen, friend, God ain't impressed with my big words. God ain't impressed with my vocabulary. He ain't impressed with my smarts. But friend, I tell you what you do today. You sitting here this morning. You say, preacher, I don't understand everything about that Bible. Friend, he never told you you needed to understand it all. He just said, if you'd come to him with a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit, if you'd humble yourself before the hand of an almighty God, friend, he'll save you by the good grace of God. He resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. That's how this woman was. You say, brother, how do you know she was humble? Well, preacher, I find after he told that bunch, he stooped down in the sand, began to write something. Brother Dustin, when we get to glory, I'd like to ask him one day, preacher. I mean, I know it won't really matter, but I'd love to know what he wrote. Whether it was the word grace, whether it was those people's sins, whatever it might have been, Brother Josh, whatever it was, from the oldest to the youngest, them boys tucked tail and got out of there. And he looked, he stood back up. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? You know how she is humble? Brother Dustin, if she wasn't humble, I believe she would have run off herself. The heat would have been off. The law would have run off, Brother Delmer. But she stayed. There's something different about that man. Yeah. You ever read that account of when he rose from the grave? Preacher Mary Magdalene had went. She was the only one. Christ was probably the only man, Brother Kevin, that talked to Mary Magdalene that didn't have another motive. Every man, Brother Delmer, that ever talked to her probably wanted something from her. Had some kind of thing wanted to get from her, Brother Dustin. But she went to go tell everybody that they moved her master's body. And there's a gardener, she thought, talking to her. She said, do you know where they've laid my Lord? And he began to talk to her. And Brother Delmer, she began to turn away and walk off. And he said, Mary. He didn't give her a three-point outline. He didn't have to sing "Just As I Am" three or four times. He didn't have to get all their brethren together. Hey, my friend, he just spoke her name. And she knew it was him. You say, why, friend? Because there's something different, friend, about the way the Lord speaks to you. If you're his sheep, you'll know his voice. He bent down, acted like they wasn't even there, acted like he didn't hear them. They went on. He said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You'll find him in the midst a lot. I'm talking about the sense of actually being in the middle. Her friend, about the sense of him actually being around. Hey, Brother Delmer, I believe this. John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, Brother Dustin, I believe this. Hey, in Genesis, when he said, let us make man in our own image. Hey, friend, he wasn't talking to Gabriel. He wasn't talking to Michael. He wasn't talking to Adam. Hey, friend, he's talking to the lovely Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God. I moved upon the face of the waters. And friend, you see him right there. He was in the midst in creation. You go to John 19. Hey, you go to any of those great chapters of the crucifixion. Hey, Brother Dustin, he was in the midst. Between two sinners. Between two sinners. Friend, he didn't do it privately. But friend, in the open. For all the world to see. There was Jesus in the midst. You go to Revelation chapter 20, chapter 21, 22. Hey, friend, there's a throne in the midst of the city. Abraham ain't sitting on there. Isaac ain't sitting on there. Peter ain't sitting on there. Friend, it's the Lord. He's a pretty important person to know. Donald Trump ain't got a clue who I am. Joe Biden ain't got a clue who I am, preacher. Brother Dustin, there's a lot of great scholars and theologians. I'm nothing but a nobody. But friend, the great God of heaven from the foundations of the world. How before any mountain was made. How before he ever scooped the dirt out for a great big ocean. How before he ever created any of the stars and just flung them out on nothing. Oh, friend, he knew me. He knew I'd be a sinner. He knew I'd be headed for hell. And friend, he had a plan to redeem me, to save me. But now how can he be just and the justifier of them that call upon him? That's the major question. I believe this preacher, I believe a lot of times that keep something that keeps people from getting saved, it ain't the fact of the gospel. Because friend, listen, you've got to have more faith to believe in evolution or to believe in a big bang than you had to believe that book. You take the Bible out, there's more historical evidence that Christ walked this earth than he didn't. Not even considering the Bible. There's more evidence, Brother Dustin, that he rose again than that he didn't. The gospel message, I believe a lot of times preaching what people get hung up on, it's will God actually forgive them? Don't you reckon that's right? When I got saved, Brother Dustin, I had professed to being saved for a long time. Brother Delmer, we went to a little youth rally type deal. I had a buddy of mine went up to get saved. Brother Delmer, I was on my way to pray with him. Preacher, just as if God spoke to me, said, boy, what if this is your last time? I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction. I'm not talking about I came up popping gum and skipping to the altar, Brother Delmer. I'm talking about condemnation and the wrath of God upon my shoulders. Preacher, me knowing that this very well might be my last time to come unto God. But what kept me from getting saved, Brother Delmer, I've been raised in church my whole life. It was not the fact that he rose again. It was not the fact that I didn't believe he walked on the water. Preacher, I believed all of that. But it was the fact, Brother Delmer, would God actually accept me? Would he cleanse me? I believe that's where Romans chapter 3 comes in. Look here. Romans chapter 3. I know I just read one verse, but I want to go backwards a little bit. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21. Listen, we know the woman in John chapter 8. We knew her condition. She had been caught in adultery. She had no good works. She had nothing to bring to God. Watch this. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, watch this, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Did you know if those scribes and Pharisees, preacher, if they hadn't got so worked up and their man's traditions, they'd have believed Christ is who he said he was. That's what he said. He said, Moses wrote to me, said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed in me. They said, well, we're the sons of Abraham. He said, God's able to take these stones and make them into the sons of Abraham. Friend, it was because of their ignorance of the scriptures, Brother Josh. They had got so worked up, and there's people of position, and there's people of power, and there's people that they wanted their own authority. And preacher, they weren't going to humble themselves. It wouldn't have mattered if God the Father himself come out. Hey, I know he did three times, or two times, Brother Dustin, but it wouldn't have mattered if God showed up in the flesh and said, hey, this is my son. They still wouldn't have accepted him. They wouldn't have humbled themselves. But it's here in verse 21, it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, watch this, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23, here's where we're all at. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do we obtain righteousness? I know in today's churches, Brother Kevin, especially you modern churches, Brother Delmer, all they throw at folks is baptism. I've had a lot of discussions, preached with a lot of folks. All they do is push baptism. Friend, baptism's great. If for you to get baptized, friend, you ought to get born again and in obedience, then get baptized. Friend, I know it's an outward showing everybody, but friend, baptism does not save us. There's a bunch of those cults, Brother Dustin, that they still try to follow the commandments and they still try to do all this. I got a good verse for him, Brother Delmer. I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Well, I'll say this. I heard old Buster Seaton give a good analogy for this, and I believe he said he stole it from M.R. Dehaene. So I'll just steal it from him. He said, here's what happens. Brother Kevin, he says, you're out with your friend. You're out with some of your family. And Brother Delmer, you see somebody kill them in cold-blooded murder. You witness it. You see who the perpetrator is. Hey, Brother Kevin, they take them to court. Hey, they book them. They're found guilty and says they're going to be put to death. All right, Brother Dustin, that person that has sinned against God, that person that's killed your family member, hey, Brother Delmer, you see them die with your eyes. Hey, you're walking down the street in the next week, Brother Kevin, and you see them walking around. I mean, friend, you get in a big work, and you get all worked up, and you say, hey, you go get the cops, you get the police. And you said, that's a man that killed my family. You know what they'd have to tell you? The law has been satisfied. That person was put to death. That person was killed. The law's been satisfied. There's nothing we can do. And you say, preacher, how's that apply to us? Hey, friend, did you know that a little over 2,000 years ago, at a place called Calvary, at a place of the skull, they somebody that bore every one of your sins, all the sins against your family, all the sins against God, and friend, he paid them. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what that means? In country boy terms, hey, Brother Delmer, because he took my sin, I'm just as righteous as the Son of God is. You say, preacher, that's saying a lot. It's not because of my ability. It's not because of my goodness. But when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God's worthy. He loves me, this I know. You know how much he loves you, sinner friend. What's keeping you from getting born again? God's done everything on his end. The church has done everything on her end, I believe. You go to the end of Revelation. Says the bride says come, the spirit says come. Let him who is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Why do you think we have services like this? I was thinking while y'all was singing, every song lifted the Lord. I've been to churches, Brother Delmer, where it's not always been like that. Now, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but preacher, I'm glad we didn't sing a song about we as a working on a building.
That's right.
Listen, friend, God don't need your help building the church. As far as I can tell in the scriptures, it says God added to the church daily.
Right.
Is that what the book says, Brother Delmer? Listen, I know we are to go out and we are to witness and we're to preach and we're to sing. But friend, listen, if you do what God's told you to do, I guarantee you he'll do what he said he'd do. Preacher, I'm glad we didn't sing a song about we was building a bridge across the divine. Because, friend, listen, whether it was a ladder I tried to build, or whether it was a bridge I tried to build, or a building I had to build, hey, Brother Delmer, I could have never made it. I was too lowly. I was too wicked. I was too undeserving. I was too ungodly. But, friend, I'm no longer that way. I now have the righteousness of Christ. Do you? Do you have that? It ain't something I paid for. Couldn't afford it. It wasn't something I worked toward, preacher. I couldn't attain it. It was given unto me. It was grace. Preacher, the older I get, and I'm not very old. I'm not as old as you. I love you. Brother Delmer, the longer I live, you know, it was to become one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered in. Isn't that what happened to that woman?
That's
John
right.
Chapter 8. Listen, the law is holy and good if a man use it lawfully. It was once our schoolmaster, Galatians chapter 3. It was our schoolmaster bringing us unto Christ. It's to show you you're in your sins, but it can never do anything about it. It's kind of like a mirror. Brother Dustin, I've been working of a day, and I've got concrete all over my head or whatever. And preacher, I can go to that mirror, and I can look all day long into that thing. It won't ever clean me. But I get me some water, and I get me some soap. Friend, you can get clean then. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound. Did you know if you're here this morning and you're lost? It doesn't matter so much that you've offended mom and daddy. It doesn't matter so much that you've offended this one or that one. But friend, if you're here lost, you've offended God.
That's right.
So preacher, I've not done much that's bad. I've not murdered. I've not been caught in adultery. I've not stole. I've not done this and all that. Friend, did you know just from us being from Adam's seed, and friend, we're just sinners by nature.
That's right.
People won't go to hell because they're drunkards. People won't go to hell because they're dope heads. People won't go to hell because they stole bubble gum. But friend, they will go to hell because of unbelief.
Yeah.
Where the offense did abound, grace, not the law, Brother Delmer, not what I could do, but grace did much more abound.
That's right.
I'm glad there was grace. I'm glad there was much grace. I'm glad there was more grace, Brother George. I'm glad there was abounding grace. That's past, present, and future. That's how God works. He forgave me for my past sins. He's forgiven me for my present. My future sins won't even be nothing. I'll be just as clean, just as righteous right now as the Son of God. We go on down, verse 24. We've all sinned, verse 23, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I know back a couple years ago, I don't know if anybody knows him, he's a pretty famous. I don't want to call him a preacher. I'll call him a religious man. He got up, Brother Kevin. He said, we're redeemed by Christ's death. But he said, some of y'all make too much of a deal about the blood. He said, a lot of you people are just blood worshipers. Well, best I can read right there, preacher. We read right here. Let's read it again. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Just in case anybody don't remember the beginning of Genesis, Brother Delmer, in Genesis, man and woman, Adam and Eve had sinned. God come to them, and you have the whole gospel in just a phrase. Adam, where art thou? God calls out the sinner, invites him to come and confess. And he said, Lord, we're naked. He said, who told you you're naked? Everybody knows this. I understand that. But he went and he got him two skins. Whether it was lamb or whatever, I don't know. But Brother Delmer says that he got him skins and clothed them with it. That's the first picture of bloodshed.
Yeah.
It didn't so much say that. It didn't say that they shed blood, but Brother Dustin, as far as typology speaking, God had to kill those skins. Had to get a pure, a sinless sacrifice. Something that had done no wrong. All right, we go on to Genesis chapter 4, Brother Delmer. And we've got Cain and Abel. One of them listened to the Sunday school stories and one didn't. Cain thought he was above. Cain thought he was better. Cain thought he could do it on his own. He went and got his own works from the fruit of his ground. That's a picture of your good works, friend. Listen, before you get born again, they ain't good to get you saved. Your works won't be good enough to keep you saved. You better trust in the blood of Christ. Abel brought an offering from the ground. God accepted his offering. Why? It wasn't because of Abel. It's because of sacrifice. I mean, Brother Kevin, blood by the millions or billions of gallons Just push sin over year after year after year. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no way to be redeemed without it. Don't you let, listen, friend, I know in the age we're in, we're technologically savvy, and we like to see, everybody's got something to say online. You ever notice that? Brother Kevin, I watch some kind of, I work construction, so Brother Dale, every now and again, there'll be some kind of video. Listen, I know I'm a dork, but there'll be some kind of video, Brother Dustin, about somebody running a piece of equipment or something, somebody doing some kind of carpentry, and I'll get on there and watch it, and preacher, for every one comment that person's got saying you've done a good job, there'll be 10 more saying somebody else told them how to do it. Listen, don't you let that crowd tell you that we're pushing the blood too much.
Right.
I don't believe we're pushing the blood too much. You get over in Revelation, like Brother Joe said, what do you do? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
He sweated so much, Brother Delmer, that he sweat became as great drops of blood. Every part of his blood that dropped, friend, it could have saved the whole world. But he didn't just spill a little bit. And he didn't spill none of it. Friend, he shed all of it for me and you.
Right.
I believe the blood's pretty important.
Yes, sir.
Lord's Supper, that bread's his body that was broken. That cup's his blood. And I'm not talking about taking a wafer and a little glass of grape juice and taking his body and his blood. But friend, I'm talking about accepting his blood for the remission of your sins. Now listen, this is a great church. But Kevin, I would go to say it's one of the greatest churches in the country. But just because you go here does not make you right before God, friend. Friend, listen, just because you're buddy with the preacher, buddy with somebody that goes here with position, friend, that don't make you nothing. Preacher's son, deacon's son. Friend, listen, at the end of the day, you can't run on mom and dad's coattail. You can't get in because you knew the preacher. Friend, you better get in because you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's how he is just. And the justifier of them. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You know what that's saying? That's saying that since Christ gave his life, shed his blood, died in our place, now, Brother Linder, he can forgive us and still be just.
Right.
Damn, are they some folks walk in? Brother Kevin, I'll be honest, I've been guilty before. Brother Dustin, somebody walk in, don't look like us. Might smell like they ain't took a bath in a week. Brother Delmer probably ain't got 2 cents to give. Hey friend, listen, don't look at me like that.
Go ahead.
Friend, I believe this. I think we've all been guilty of that.
Oh, yeah.
And we think, God, can you even do something with that person? Friend, can I tell you, he can. Friend, I mean, I've not been around long, Brother Dustin. I've seen him save from the guttermost to the uttermost. I've seen him take somebody, Brother Kevin, out of the miry clay, I mean from nothing, and made them a child of God. He can do it. He can clean up your life. That man that was burdened down with legion. I mean, friend, stripped his clothes off. Put him in fetters and chains. He'd break them. There was no hope in that man till the Son of God stepped on the shore.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They come to him and said, why has thou come to torment us? Asked his permission. Said, Lord, if you will, could you cast us into that swine? I'm glad he's got authority.
Right.
He told him to go on. They went and drowned themselves in the sea. I know I'm not preaching nothing new, but friend, I believe we're preaching the book. Friend, it takes the Son of God to make you righteous. We go on to verse 27. I'm right now done. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Friend, if it was because of what Christ done, we can be saved. Preacher, I know there's a song come out a few years ago. My wife always gets tickled when I bring it up. There's a song said that God broke the law for love. Brother Delmer, I've heard, I've seen people talking about, I ain't been there, but preacher, I've seen services. Men get up and say, God broke the law for love. That's incorrect.
That's right.
Christ said He come to fulfill every jot, every tittle. He was a man with no sin. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't want nobody to lose confidence in me, but preacher, Monday morning, by the time I get up and walk out the door, I've sinned. It's not because I've went out and done something, but a lot of times it's because of something I've not done, Brother Delmer. You know what the Bible says, that for a man to know good and him do it not, to him it is a sin. Do we know that it's right to give praise to God?
Yes.
Do we know that it's right to worship Him? Do we know that it's right to read the Scriptures and to pray? And friend, we don't always do it. That's a sin.
Right. Yep.
But friend, he knew no sin. He thought no sin. He never partook of sin. He fulfilled every bit of the law so you could be saved. So now here's where the ball's in your court. I know there's a lot more talented preachers here than I am. A lot more that could have done a lot better. But friend, listen. I believe every one of us would have said the same thing. I had that much confidence in them. Friend, you need Christ. You need to be saved. Friend, I don't know everybody here, but I love you. I don't want to see you go to hell. And here's the thing, preacher. I'm not going to preach it. But the Lord's really given me a message and burdened me of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know what it says in that book? He said, well, preacher, if all that's true, while the church is getting raptured out, I know your doctrine, I know you're in the right place. When the church is getting raptured out, I'll get saved then. No, you won't. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's 1/1,000th of a second. That's before you could ever holler out help. But here's what 2 Thessalonians says. You say, well, I'll get saved after all that happens. You know, for those that's been given the gospel, it says He'd send them strong delusions. But preacher, here's what bothers me. If they'd believe a lie, that they all, not some of them, not part of them, but Brother Delmer, that they all might be damned. And I think about that, but preacher, I'm trying to quit, I promise I am. You go to Amos chapter 6 and understand the context of that and understand that was talking to Israel as a nation. But you know what verse 1 says? Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You're sitting here in a good church. I mean, a good youth group. Brother Dustin, as honest as I can be, I know of two places that's got a youth group like y'all. That's here in my church. But down outside of that, I don't know nobody else much. You got a good preacher. You got some good men to help. And I'm telling you what your problem's going to be, sinner friend. You're at ease. You think it's all going to be okay. You think I've got enough time to get in? Ain't nobody, Brother Kevin, there ain't nobody worried about the return of the Lord. Brother Delmer, we think that we're going to leave here. We're going to come back Wednesday night and have service. Brother Dustin, we think we're going to leave Wednesday service and we'll be back here next Sunday. And friend, that might not be the case at all. Don't be at ease. And when the Master comes, you not be ready. Friend, let's get us an altar call. Whoever wants to come. I believe the Lord's told me to quit right there. You say, preacher, do you really think that God will save me? Friend, without a doubt,